at home. It says "Follow Your Heart" or a shirt or something like that, and it's a good sentimental kind of a saying, but it's not completely true, and it can be kind of dangerous to think that way, to just follow your heart. So in Proverbs chapter 28, and we'll look at verse number 25 and 26, we're going to look at the heart this evening. We're going to look at the heart. Solomon said in Proverbs 28, verse 25 and 26, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife." That's a characteristic of somebody who has pride in their heart. You follow them around, you follow their life around, you're going to find strife. You're going to find division. You're going to find problems in that person's life if they have pride in their heart. "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." I don't think he's talking about putting on a few extra pounds there. He's probably talking about you'll be blessed in your life. Verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered." So tonight, I want to preach to you on the folly of following your own heart. The folly of following your own heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for the rain that you have sent our way. Thank you for being gracious to us and loving to us, Father. You knew that we needed rain. Father, you know what each and every one of us needs here this evening. I pray that you would speak to us, that you'd have liberty to convict and teach and exhort, whatever we might need. Father, we put ourselves in your hands and under your authority, and we just want you to talk to us tonight and let us know what you want us to do. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the folly of following your own heart. You've all heard the slogan. You've all heard the saying. It says, just follow your heart. You've seen it on mugs, t-shirts. You got an Instagram. Somebody's probably going to post that before you know it. Just follow your heart. You got a Facebook. You see a Facebook post. Somebody has put that on there. Just follow your heart. You watch TV. You listen to the Hollywood elite, all of the movie stars. They're going to say, what should I do? What advice do you have for me? They're going to say, well, you just do this and this and this, and just follow your heart. Just do whatever your heart is telling you to do. Well, to a certain extent, that might be okay. I mean, if you have a love for firefighting, you want to be a firefighter, and you believe that's what the Lord wants you to do, well, by all means, follow your heart and go and be a firefighter. Great. But if you want to be a bank robber, following your heart is going to be the wrong thing to do. You know, you got a love of your life, and it's within the scriptural bounds here, and you want to get married to that person, by all means, follow your heart. Do all of those things. But, I mean, a lot of times our heart can lead us astray. We can do things that we ought not do if we follow our heart. I mean, if you put a dozen donuts in front of me and a pot of green beans, well, I know what I ought to get. I ought to get a handful of green beans or a scoop full of green beans and eat those. But my heart says, I want the donuts. Give me the donuts. And there I am a few years later, and I've got diabetes and all kinds of stuff because I've been following my heart all these years. You think about the heart, and what is it? Well, the heart is what is guiding you in your life. Just like the human heart. The human heart is what pumps all the blood and all of the oxygen and all of the nutrients to all extremities of your body. All of your nose, your eyes, your hands, your feet, your fingers, all of those things, it's the central part of your body. And if you do not have a heart, then you are not alive here today. So that's what the heart is from a physical perspective. But in a spiritual sense, the heart is what's behind your whole entire life. Why are you making decisions? Why are you thinking in the thoughts that you are thinking? Why are you having the emotions that you are having? Why are you making the decisions that you are making? Why? Because your heart is behind it. It's what you want to do. So the problem is your heart. Now, I think it's totally sad. I mean, I am heartbroken over the things that are happening in our country today. You watch the news and you see all these riots and all this junk going on TV. You know what the problem is with all of that? The problem is people have wicked hearts. That's the problem. I mean, you know, we don't need more rules and regulations and laws, although I'm not against that, but the problem is the heart. And so all of the things that involve your spiritual life, your mind, your will, your emotions, they are all being pressed and pushed by your heart. That's what it is. And so Solomon says in this verse right here, he says, if you follow your heart or you trust in your heart, man, you're a fool. Don't trust in your own heart. You know what else he says in that same verse? He says, whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. You know, you could be a wise person here this evening if you follow the Lord and not your own heart. That's the whole theme of the book of Proverbs right here, is getting wisdom. You get to the first chapter of the front of this book of Proverbs, the principal thing for people is wisdom. Because if you don't have wisdom, you're in trouble, man. You got to have wisdom to get through this life. And for a Christian, I got good news here for you. You have the wisdom, all the wisdom that you need and all the righteousness that you need is found not within your brain, but within Jesus Christ. You don't know what a treasure you have if you have a Bible in your lap here. And you have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of you. Hey man, that's wisdom right there. So what we need is we need wisdom, and what people need is they need a new heart. Because that's what's all behind all of the wickedness and all of the unrighteousness and all of these things that go on inside of the world. It's the heart. You got a heart problem. We're all sinners, each and every one of us. I don't care if you're black or white or green or Chinese or Japanese. You're a sinner. You're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. So we need a king or someone to govern us and to show us the right way, the right path to go. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, you think about the children of Israel in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, one of the darkest, ugliest times for the children of Israel was in the book of Judges. And do you know what the problem was? Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. That was the problem. They were just following their heart. They were just doing what they thought they ought to do. And they did not have a king to govern them. Do you have a king sitting on the throne of your heart here this evening? Jesus Christ is our king and our captain, and we need him more than anything else in this whole entire world. We must have someone to govern us. I mean, you look at the book of Judges, and you have all kinds of hideous things going on in that book. You have a judge named Jephthah who made a rash vow and ended up sacrificing his own daughter. A burnt offering is what he did. Awful. Completely awful. They were into Baal worship. They had a judge named Samson who had a woman problem, a womanizer, all kinds of different things. What was the problem? They did not have anyone to guide them and to lead them. Now, they did for a while. For a while, a judge would come in. He'd get them all straightened up, get them going good, and get them on the right path. And they'd go good for a while. And after a while, that judge would die, and then they'd go right back to the Baal worship. They go right back to making stupid decisions. You know what's going to happen not the United States of America, but people in general? You can do good for a little while. I mean, you can discipline yourself, and you can make yourself do good for a while, but guess what? After a while, you're going to go right back to where you were. You're going to go right back to the problems that you had before. You know what? You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart to help you and to lead you and to guide you in the right way. Don't follow your heart. That's a dangerous thing right there. To follow your heart. Now I want to give you tonight three reasons why not to trust your own heart, and then God's remedy for the human heart. Three reasons why not to trust your own heart. The first thing is it will deceive you. Your heart will deceive you. Second thing is it can become hardened. And a hard heart is no good whatsoever. You ever tried to do something with a rock? It's not good for anything. It can become hard as a rock. Number three, it can become prideful, full of pride. Now we see pride rampant all over the United States of America, causing problems. So we cannot trust our own heart apart from the grace of God. The first thing is your heart will deceive you. People can become deceived so easily, self-deceived. It says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart, what you want to do, it's deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even know your own heart. You don't even know your own depravity. You don't even know how bad you can get. You get into a situation, you don't know what you'll do. Follow your heart. Man, that's dangerous. Your heart will deceive you. We are easily deceived. I heard a quote one time said, it is easier to deceive someone than to convince them that they have been deceived. It's a lot easier to deceive somebody than to convince them that they have been deceived. You think about the Apostle Paul, man, that guy, before he got saved, his name was Saul. Man, that guy was a devout Christian, or not a Christian, but a devout religious person. And he didn't think he was deceived. He was going out and he was torturing people because they were Christians and because they believed on the name of Jesus Christ. Well, there wasn't going to be nobody that was going to stop him from doing what he was doing. He was going to throw him in jail. He was going to make him blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. And man, he was devout going forward. He was doing it all in the name of God, is what he was doing. You know what happened? Had to happen to Saul? God had to intervene and get in his life. He was on the road to Damascus, going to go round up some more Christians and torture them and throw them in jail. And God knocked him off his high horse. Somebody had to intervene in that situation. You know what's going to have to happen in order for you to get over your self-deception and my self-deception? Hey, God's going to have to intervene. He's going to have to get in there and he's going to have to do something because people can become deceived very easily, very easily. A lot of people are self-deceived. They think that they can just hear the Word of God and not do the Word of God, as it tells us in the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse number 22 says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." A lot of people are self-deceived about that. They think, man, if I just come to church and I hear the Word of God, or I put it on my phone and I listen to the Word of God, but I don't have to obey the Word of God, then I'll be all right. No, you won't. No, you won't. You're deceiving your own self. Yeah, but I heard the preacher tell me that I ought to give at church, but I ain't going to give. I read in the Bible where I ought to give and I ought to give my offering and all those things, but I ain't going to give. Guess what? You're self-deceived. Self-deceived. Well, you know, I read in the Bible where I shouldn't commit fornication. I shouldn't do all these things. I shouldn't be going out and get drunk. But I'm going to do it anyway. Guess what? You're deceived. You are deceived. It doesn't matter if you come to church for the rest of your life, but they do not obey the Word of God. You are self-deceived. The Bible says that your faith is vain. Your faith is dead, as he says in the book of James. He said, faith without works is dead. A man can say he has faith all day long, but if it does not produce works in your life and it does not change your life, then you're deceived because your faith is dead. Now, that's what James said. Don't be deceived. Hey, we can be self-deceived very easily. You know what else some people get deceived about, be very deceived, is they think they can go out and live like the devil and then it's never going to come back on them. They're out there sowing all kinds of wild oats and all kinds of bad seeds, and they think the crop is never going to come in. You know what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, don't you? He said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." If you sow bad seeds in your life and things that you ought not be doing, it's going to come back. Now, it's not going to come back tomorrow or the next day or the next day, but in a few years, it's going to come back. I guarantee you. People are self-deceived that way. Well, I can live the way I want to live and I can do whatever I want to do and it's not going to come back on me. Yes, it will. Most certainly will. Don't be deceived. Don't be self-deceived. Don't be deceived into thinking that you can get happiness and joy and satisfaction out of riches and wealth and popularity and beauty and being handsome and all these things. Don't be deceived into thinking those things are the meaning to life. Lots of folks are deceived that way. They think, man,
If I could just get this career, if I could just get that $1 million, if I could just hit the lottery, man, things would be so great for me. I'd be rich. Now, I hope you do. I hope each and every one of you get rich one of these days. It's not going to be me, though, I'll guarantee you. Never mind. Before I start contradicting myself, don't be deceived into thinking all those things will bring happiness. You know, I read a study. I think it was a university. It was in Rochester, New York. Did a study on 147 college students. Our college graduates, actually, they already graduated from college. And they were going to track their progress to see how they felt after they had gone for the American dream after they graduated from college. They were going to talk to them a year after they got out of college and then another year after they got out of college to see just how they liked the chasing the American dream. You're going to become famous, you're going to become rich, you're going to become all of these things, and just see how happy you are after a couple of years of chasing the American dream. You know what happened? They talked to 147 of those students. They didn't believe that was the path to happiness. None of them were happy after that. You know what they thought was happiness, and what the thing that made them fulfilled them the most are people. The things that brought them the most fulfillment and enjoyment was forming good, deep relationships with other people. That was the thing that brought them happiness. Not trying to get all the money and all the wealth and all the fame, all those different things. See, people are deceived because they think that happiness is found in things. Right. Happiness not found in things. You know what God said? You know what God said at the end of the book of Job? That the whole duty of man was to fear God and keep His commandments. You know, that's how you're going to find happiness in this life. It's having a good relationship with God. Number one, you need to have a good relationship with God and you'll be happy. Number two, you need to have a good relationship with mankind and you'll be happy. That's the true fulfillment in life. People are self-deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't let your heart deceive you. Yeah, but man, I want this and I want that. I want that $60,000 Escalade. Well, after a while, it's going to be worth about $1,500 and you'll probably still be paying on it. I do not understand how somebody can charge that much for a car. $60,000. I wouldn't mind driving one, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to spend as much money on a car as I could on a house. Now that's nuts. That's crazy. So do not be self-deceived into thinking that those kind of things bring happiness. Happiness. Our idols today, I mean, you think about the children of Israel in the Old Testament, man, what did they do? They carved out a bunch of idols. They said, man, this can bring us happiness and this can bring us joy. And we'll start trusting in Baal and all of these different things. Well, you might not have any carved out images at your house, but you got some different idols, don't you? Maybe, perhaps, I don't know. Luxury, entertainment, all of those different things can be gods. Success, power, achievement, possessions, all of those things bring a false sense of happiness to mankind. Wealth sometimes can bring a false sense of security. You think, man, I've got all the money in the world. You know what Jesus Christ said? What is the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You can have all the money in the world, it's not going to save your soul. But people think, well, man, you know what? Wealth and money brings all this security. I'm looking for security. You know, the stock market could crash tomorrow. I mean, I know I told you that, all of you this before, but I used to have, back in 2009, I had a retirement plan with a lot of money in it. You know what happened when the stock market crashed? Sorry, I'm getting my words twisted up. Stock market crashed. I started watching my money go down, 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 down. I wish it would stop, but it kept going down. You know what's going to happen? Don't put all your security in money, stocks and bonds and all those things. Hey, depression could come. You don't ever know. And like the Bible says, that money makes itself wings and it flies away. You might never see it again. You know what all your security and all of your joy and all of your happiness, you know what that comes from? It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. Spiritual fulfillment in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. But at the end, what we need is just a new heart. I mean, you can't reform that old heart. You can't reform that old black stone heart that you had before you got saved. You can't do it. It's not reformable. What you need is you need a brand new one. So don't trust your heart, number one, because it can be deceived. You can deceive yourself. And number two, don't trust your heart because it can become hard. And what good is a rock-hard heart? It is not responsive to the Word of God. It is not responsive to His commandments. It's not responsive to the love of God. None of those things. You think about Pharaoh in the Old Testament. God actually hardened his heart. I mean, and if God hardens your heart, I don't think it's going to get soft again. But his problem was, he says, who is God? I do not need to listen to him. I don't even know who he is, and I'm not going to pay attention to him. And God hardened his heart. Amen. And he never did come back from it. You know what happened to Pharaoh? He lost his whole army, he lost his family, and he lost his firstborn son along with all the firstborn of the children of Egypt. That's what happened to him. What happened there? He was trusting his own heart, and it was a hard heart. Don't trust a hard heart. It can become hardened. Paul warned the Jews in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7 to 11. He said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So Paul was writing to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter number 3, and he says, don't harden your heart like your brothers and sisters did in the Old Testament, because they did not enter into the rest of that Canaan rest. So don't harden your hearts. You can't trust your heart because it became hardened. Why can't you trust a heart of stone? A heart of stone does not move for the Lord. It's dead. No good for nothing. You can throw it out there in your flower garden. It's about all you can do with it. A stone does not feel conviction or the love of God, and a stone is cold and lifeless. So that's one reason you cannot trust your own heart, because it can become hardened. Number three, the reason that you cannot trust your own heart is because it can become filled with pride. Look at verse number 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. You can't trust your own heart because it can become filled with pride. And guess what? If you say, hey, I don't have any pride in my heart, you're already self-deceived. Because pride can come up there really quick. Really quick. You can't trust your own heart because it can become filled with pride. Now you look around at this nation today, and you see all the pride marching around in the streets. I mean, you talk about heartbreaking, fellas and ladies. Heartbreaking. I mean, you have two groups. I saw this on the Charlottesville thingamajigger that was going on there. You have one group of people going out there, and you have another group of people going out there, and they are mad at each other. They hate each other. What do they got? They got rocks. They got sticks. They got mace. And they're going after each other, and they're calling each other names and all kinds of things. You know what the problem is? It's pride. It's pride. And what kind of foolish decisions are they making with a prideful heart like that? Boy, I tell you what, they are self-deceived. Self-deceived. That's an ugly thing for our nation right there today. They're going out there like that. But I tell you what, the gospel is the cure for those things. The gospel is the cure. It doesn't matter if you're black or you're white. You're a sinner. And you have no business going out there and saying you're better than somebody else. Because you're all the same in the eyes of God. You're a sinner. Doesn't matter what race you are, you're still a sinner before God. You're still a sinner. So what were they doing? Well, they're against each other. They're fighting with one another. And what happened? Some guy gets mad. He gets in a car and he plows into a group of pedestrians and kill somebody. Why? Because he had pride in his heart. Because he had anger in his heart. Because he was following his heart. And he killed somebody. And he maimed a bunch of other people. How about over there in Spain? Somebody decided they were going to ram a car into they killed 13 people with a car. 13 people. What was he doing? Well, he was just following his heart. That's why you don't follow your heart. That's why you need Jesus Christ. That's why you need the gospel. That's why you need a new heart. You don't do those kinds of things. Don't follow your heart. It can be full of pride. So what do we need? What do we need as a people? What does everybody need? We need a new heart. You can't reform the old one. So God said, I'll give you a new one. I'll give you a new one. It says in Ezekiel 36:26, and God was talking to the nation of Israel, but you can apply this to yourself. He says, a new heart also will I give you. Do you have the new heart? Do you have new desires here this evening? Do you have a desire to know God and to want to do right? Because that's what happens when you get saved. You get a new heart. You get new desires. That's what mankind needs. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. He says, I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. He said, I'm going to give you a heart that's got flesh with it. You know what? It's going to be soft, and it's going to be responsive to my word. It's going to love me. It's going to love my commandments. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. What is God's reformation for mankind? It's to give you a new heart. It's to give you a new spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit. That means it's holy. And it wants you to do things that are holy and that are righteous. And you must follow that. That's what God's remedy is for the heart. That way you don't follow that old heart anymore. You follow the new heart. Hey, that's trustworthy right there. You can follow that heart. So, instead of being self-deceived, guess what? You have the Spirit of truth on the inside of you. You don't follow your own heart because it can deceive you, but guess what? Now you have a new heart. And it's called the Spirit of truth. And you don't have to be deceived anymore. You have the Word of God right there on your lap. You can study it, and the Holy Spirit will give you light and help you to live like you ought to live. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. It'll show you what a sin is, and it'll convict you that that thing is wrong and you shouldn't be doing it. And guess what? Your whole life starts to change. Your will starts to change. Your emotions start to change. Your mind starts to change. Your thoughts start to change. You don't get angry about the things that you used to get angry with anymore. Why? You got a new heart. You don't do the same things that you used to do. Hey, I'm not going to go to that filthy bar anymore. I don't want to go there anymore. Hey, I don't want to listen to that old nasty music I used to listen to. I got some new music because I got new affections and new loves. Man, that's great. Now, which heart are you following, or which spirit are you following today? The Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. So you don't have to be deceived anymore. And you don't have to have that hard heart anymore, because God has done something supernaturally on the inside. Yeah. Supernaturally. Something that you couldn't do ever. You never could have done this in a million years. You know what the Bible says about people who are not saved? You cannot please God. You can't do it. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So He fixed it for you. Have you had that? Are you saved? Do you know it for sure? You've been born again? That's what's called life from the dead. Before you got saved, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Couldn't do anything. Needed God to be there. Raise you up from the dead. Give you a new spirit. Give you a new heart. And man, I tell you what, now you can please God. Now you have the ability to please God. So you don't have to be deceived. You don't have to have that hard heart anymore. And guess what, man? It's going to be great for you. That's what the Lord has done for you. That's what He's done. So I'd like to ask you this evening, have you been born again? Do you know for sure if you're saved? And are you walking in the Spirit? Are you following the Spirit of God? Are you still kind of walking in darkness? How is it for you this evening? Let's stand and we'll say a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for all that You have blessed us with. We thank You for giving us life. We thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for salvation, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to walk in the Spirit, not to trust our own heart, but to trust you, dear Lord. We thank you for the promises that you've given to us in your word. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit and for the new heart, God. Lord, we love you, and we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to pray, come down and talk to God. Why don't you do so? Do you have a new heart from the Lord? You've been born again. You're trusting in God, or you're trusting in yourself? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived.